Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Friends, this teaching from Jesus is very familiar to our ears, but is it expressed clearly in the way we live our lives? That's the key question. As Christians, we are meant to live like our Savior, who humbled himself unimaginably. First of all, he's God. He takes lowly human flesh, but he doesn't stop there, right? He goes all the way to the cross, the most humiliating, painful, despicable death possible. That's what he did. And so, yes, we're called to humble ourselves as he did unimaginably, and he was in turn exalted above the heavens. That's crucial. If we die to ourselves each day, to our sinfulness, to our wickedness, and rise to new life in him, then we increasingly enjoy his very own life. This is eternal life. We taste more and more of that eternal life that he promises us, even now. As we do this, then we're not concerned at all about exalting ourselves. No, he didn't care about exalting himself. Rather, like him, we will be concerned with living for others and building them up, exalting them. And our ultimate concern will be living for Christ and exalting him in the way we live every aspect of our lives. We won't care about seats of honor, and we won't offer things to others only expecting things in return. Now, living this way, this is true freedom. Jesus was absolutely free, of course. So walking with him in this way is true freedom. And it only comes through self-emptying love. Self-emptying love, right there. Not the self-serving love that we often get trapped in, we get fixed on, thinking that we're going to lose out by being generous and selfless. And this is slavery to self, slavery to the things of this world. You hear people say, oh, the absolute right to choose whatever I want, whenever I want, that's freedom. Nope. Look at how they're living their lives. They're enslaved to the many of the things of this world. They have it all wrong. Ben Sirach understands this very well, these truths, as we see in today's first reading. Conduct your affairs with humility, we heard, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Wow. People really love givers of gifts, right? Santa Claus is usually pretty high on the list. Parents, when you give your kids stuff, pretty high on the list. Not so much when you don't, but givers of gifts, yes. But what Sirach is saying here is that people are going to love you even more than givers of gifts if you are humble. If you are humble. That's the key. Not proud, haughty, or self-focused, self-important, self-centered. Humble yourself all the more, he continues, and you will find favor with God. Excellent, excellent. This favor with God is worth far more than any human favor, right? So, seek not what is too sublime for you, and search not into things beyond your strength. He's talking about it in the earthly sense here. Getting ahead of yourself. Don't exhaust yourself in lusting after earthly things, especially those beyond your means. That's a waste of time. Rather, seek God first, above everything else, and then he will show you true reality. He'll show you true reality. Then you'll begin to see things as they really are. That's what humility really means. That's the most basic definition of just seeing things as they really are. You come to see God as he really is. You come to see yourself as you really are, as he looks upon you. You see yourself in relation to him and other people the way it really is. Not what other people say, not what you say, but how God sees it. That's humility. And so you'll begin to see this way. You'll see just how much he's already lavished upon you and continues to lavish upon you, and that he is beckoning for you to enter into what is too sublime for you and what is beyond your strength. And we're talking about in a spiritual sense. Remember, it was in an earthly physical sense before. Now in a spiritual sense. And these gifts far exceed earthly gifts. Far exceed. But you can only get there through him. You can study philosophy all you want, these sublime truths. You can even study theology all you want. You can study science all you want. You can get all kinds of PhDs and everything else. But if you don't walk with the Lord, you're not going to get to true reality. There's going to be a whole side of knowledge and reality that you're completely sheltered from. That's what Sirach's trying to get at here. Humility always draws us closer and closer to our God. And although this can be a bit scary, since this means that we give up more and more control, personal control, there's nothing to fear at all in reality. Unlike at the times of the Exodus, where the people were fearful of close contact with God. And we see in Hebrews, he doesn't mention it, but this is when Moses and the Jews are at Mount Sinai, and the mountain smoking, and there's the blazing fire, and there's this gloomy darkness, and the voice comes, it's like thunder and lightning, and the people are terrified, and they beg Moses, you go talk to God, we don't want to hear his voice anymore, we're too scared. So unlike back in those days, many thousands of years ago, we now approach God confidently through Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is no reason whatsoever to be afraid. Through his passion, death, and resurrection, he has won the victory that we could never win. We could never repay our God for our sinfulness and for our wickedness. He took the burden. We couldn't. So he's won. He's won the victory. We just need to claim it. He has opened up the path to heaven and beckons us to follow him. We actually have become part of him. We're not just following him, we've actually become part of him. And this is how God the Father now sees us. Not as individual, not sinful people, which we are. It's not like he's not aware of that, but when he looks at us, he sees us as redeemed members of his son's body. He looks at us through Jesus Christ. That's the lens through which he views us. Members of his son's beloved body. It's marvelous. Now, the ancient Israelites would have never even dreamt of this, right? They would have had no concept of it. How could they? Yet, here we are. So beautifully, so profoundly blessed. Now, the second part of that, I'm going to quote it to you in full, and then we're going to digest it a little bit. Hebrews is so marvelous. This is one of the most spectacular proclamations, I think, in the New Testament. You, so he's talking to all of us now, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Right now, that's happening right now. And countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. This is a really, really marvelous passage, especially if you have a deep understanding of the Old Testament and the rituals with the temple and everything. There's a direct comparison going on. The heavenly Jerusalem is the eternal wedding feast that's celebrated eternally. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb. And par excellence, we participate in it in the Holy Mass. That's what's going on right now. The other sacraments, yes, in our prayer life, we enter into this, but most profoundly, heaven meets earth right here. That's what's going on right now. We hear the spirits of the just made perfect, this big festal gathering of countless angels, the assembly of the firstborn in heaven, God the judge, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. That's the covenant in his blood, the covenant that he forged on his cross, that we celebrate most profoundly. We actually receive this covenant when we receive the Eucharist. All that's going on right now. That's what the author of Hebrews is saying. You don't just see God from afar. You don't hear this terrible noise and cower down. We walk right up to him. And he embraces us wholeheartedly. It's amazing. It's amazing. And this eternal wedding feast, we participate in it now. Somehow. It blows our minds, but in some real way, we're participating in it. It's amazing. It's dumbfounding. And through our relationship with Jesus, which hopefully we're seeking to grow deeper and deeper in relationship with him, he draws us deeper and deeper into this mystery. And then our lives are transformed from the inside out. From the inside out, which is crucial. Our lives and then our world becomes more and more like heaven. We become more and more like the spirits of the just made perfect. These people that over time were perfected and now are in heaven. This is really good stuff. And Jesus beckons us to draw nearer to him. He wants us to enter more and more deeply into this every moment. So, fellow Christians, to steal a line from St. Leo the Great, Christians, remember your dignity. Remember your dignity and live out this amazing calling of Jesus. There's nothing to be afraid of at all. You're not going to lose out. Rather, you will gain everything. You'll gain everything. And this is precisely what happens when you become more and more humble. Back to that humility motif. Then it makes perfect sense for you to live not for yourself, but for God and for other people. Even for especially for the lowly ones. Jesus is telling us in the gospel, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the people that can't fend for themselves. In a word, then we live for heaven, not for ourselves. And that's when life takes on its ultimate meaning, its ultimate joy. Therefore, stop focusing on yourself. We all do it to varying degrees. Stop doing that and trying to make heaven conform to your desires. This is a waste of time. And the results are very predictable. Sin is boring. We know exactly what's going to happen when we sin. Boom, boom, boom. Same thing happens every time. We become more and more miserable. But we do it anyway, right? But the results are out there for people that want to live this way as our world becomes more and more and more secular, less and less and less God, more and more sin, more and more predictable, more and more broken. I mean, I've only lived 45 years now, and I can tell you that, when I was a little boy, and then when I was in high school, and even in my 20s, we had problems in the world, yes. But compared to what we have going on now, all the splintering and the chaos, just look at what's happening. Less and less God. The results are right there. So, don't do that. Instead, conform your desires to heaven and allow God to lead you on the most amazing journey possible, to fill you with the peace and joy beyond all understanding as you become the radiant saint he created you to be, and help many others to do the very same.